Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Acts 9, verse 8 through 19. I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight. Acts chapter 9, Brother Eddie has taught us that the book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of Jesus through the apostles. Because without him, they could do absolutely nothing. But with him, the possibilities are endless. I want you to hear that again. With Jesus, Jason, the possibilities are endless. Who said we can't have a revival that turns this town upside down? Who said that the addict can't be liberated? Who said the diabetic couldn't be healed? Who said that? He didn't say that. No, he said, with me, all things are possible. The possibilities. Saul rose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And when he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Listen to this verse. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be seated. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about how powerful it is to walk in obedience. I want to say that again. It is powerful to walk in obedience. Nothing should supersede the commandments of God in our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Nothing should supersede the voice of God in our life. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We must understand that we need to have an open ear to what the Spirit has to say to the church. The problem is we struggle with whether we have the right ability to hear or not. How do I know this? Because we ask this question all the time. Is it me or is it God? Is that me talking or is that God talking? We need to get a little more confident in our ability to hear, because he said, my sheep, they know my voice. And when they know my voice, a stranger, they will not follow. We need to understand what it is to hear the voice of God, and not just hear the voice of God, but to submit to the voice of God, because in that obedience, things will start happening that we've never seen happen before through obedience. Can you say amen? Amen. If we approach him, this is my whole sermon right here. You ready? If we approach him in obedience, something significant will happen. If we approach him in obedience, something significant will happen. But we have to walk in obedience. The issue is, and I'm going to harp on this for a few months, and if you get tired of it, just let me know. I'm still going to harp of it, but at least I'll know that you're frustrated at it. It won't change a thing, except for I know that you're frustrated about it. But Sam, it's not enough to just punch our ticket to heaven and then sit back and wait on the rapture. How many people in here believe in a rapture? How many people don't believe in a rapture? You know what's awesome? One guy don't believe in a rapture. This is what's great. Whether you believe in a rapture or not, if the rapture takes place and you believe in Jesus, you still get to go. No, I don't think you realize how cool that is. Whether it's not like when it's time to be caught up, or it's not like he's going to say, oh, sorry, your theology on eschatology and I was a little off, so you don't get to come. No, the prerequisite is this. I believe in Jesus, and because I believe in Jesus, there are some things that are going to happen because I believe in him. I may not have all of my eschatology right, but I do got this right. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and he lives in me, and that qualifies me for all the blessings. So for years, I better be careful. Okay. I was waiting on somebody to say it so I can blame it on them. For years, I would go into people's houses, and for years, there was this message about end time studies that I needed to hear, and I would sit and I would listen and I would try to learn and try to get it all down and try to develop my eschatology and try to nail down the time and try to figure it out and I had a guy tell me one time that he was talking about a minister, and he said that minister doesn't have the right revelation of the end time, and he's going to lead those people into tribulation. And I would sit and I would listen. I'd read the Bible and I'd go through all the process. And in the end, I would walk out with this. They don't know either. And you know how I know they don't know? Because he said, no man knows the day or the hour. We've got people, Andrew, sitting around trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back, and he's saying, no man knows the day or the hour. Well, at least we can get close. Well, let me tell you what, I got a totally different take on it. If he comes tonight, I'm washed in the blood, and everything's going to be all right. But in the meantime, I'm not going to sit around trying to figure out when he's coming back. I want to get something done before he gets here for his kingdom. How do I do that? We got to learn how to walk in obedience. Never prayed that prayer before. Never prayed that prayer before. But man, I'm praying for him. I said, God, give us a young man that's willing to say no to the things that are hard to say no to. Because we live in a generation that doesn't say no and just ask for forgiveness on the other side of everything. Because God is so gracious and he forgives and he's so much love and he forgives. But what about walking in victory? What about being so consumed with who he is that I don't want to break fellowship for just a moment? Because here's what we hear. Well, sin will break fellowship, but you're still a son. Well, what about fellowship? I don't get it. You can ask my wife. Shane, hold Sophie up. Show everybody Sophie. She camera shy. After just a few days of not seeing her, I'll start inquiring of Tracy. What's Taylor and Shane doing? What are they doing? Don't get me wrong, I like seeing y'all too. I do. But I start inquiring and asking, hey, what are they doing? What's going on? We're still in relationship. She's still my granddaughter. But it's that fellowship. It's that running through. Hey, Pop. It's that fellowship. Are you listening to me? Yeah, we're in relationship. We're related. That's great. But I don't want to just be related to Jesus. I want to be in fellowship with him. And glory. And the only way to keep that fellowship right is to walk in obedience. Now, we get this wrong. Connor, we get this mixed up. It's not a just because I said so. That's not how God works. What we need is a greater Abba revelation. I said we need a greater revelation of what our Father's like. Because you know what we think? A lot of times we relate God to what our natural father was like. They did a test one time and they took these kids. And they said, we want you to draw what God looks like. And the kids sat down and drew what God looked like. And it was very interesting that most of them drew something that resembled their natural father. And we miss it because he's not a natural father. He's our spiritual father. So when he gives a command, the command, it's not without warrant and it's not without reason. The purpose of the commands of God is to keep us in fellowship with him. Why would he do that? Because the greatest place you can ever be on this planet is in fellowship with him. So when he gives commands, Johnny, those commands are to keep us in fellowship with him. There are things that he tells you not to do so that you can remain in fellowship with him. There are things he tells you to do because it will enhance your fellowship with him. And if we don't walk in that, then we're missing out on fellowship. He said, Ananias, go down there and pray for Saul of Tarsus. I heard about this guy. And thought I'd run this by you. He has some authority to snatch up anybody that's calling on your name. Just thought I'd run that by you. God said, I got a purpose for him. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you to picture this. One scene, Paul sitting in a house blind. Let me tell you what. When Paul got up that morning and was on his way to Damascus, he wasn't planning on getting there blind. No, he went in there with authority. He went in there, Dustin, to stop anybody that was praying and calling on. He was going there for a purpose. But he has an experience with God. And in that experience with God, he doesn't expect to be led into the city by somebody else while he's blind. And here he is sitting in a house with no sight. Man, I hope y'all can get this. And God is dealing with another man. While he's sitting in blindness, God is speaking to someone else. He's telling him, I want you to go down there and pray for him. He's praying. Yeah, I got you. Now, Ananias understood that Saul had done the church a lot of harm. But the problem is, Vicky, when people do us harm, we feel like we don't have to pray for them. No, let me say that again. When people hurt us, we think we are justified. You know what scripture we like? Well, I'll tell you right now, you just dust the dust off your feet and woe to that city. You love that part. I tell you what, buddy, if you really want to get them, be nice to them. You know why you want to be nice to them? Because it's like heaping hot coals on the head. And that's your motivation. You're not kind because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You're kind so they can burn their head. And you walk out of Walmart, God, I'm good. God, I was so nice. I was so nice. I hope they're frying right now. That's not the right motivation. Good to see you. God bless you. I mean, what's going on inside of you? But he obeyed. And man, did he ever obey. Knowing who Saul was, but knowing what God called him to do. He did it anyway. And he walks into the house. Man, this is so good. This is so good. And said, Brother Saul. Wait a minute. Brother Saul, are you speaking faith? Yeah, he's speaking faith. You know why? Because God spoke to him. Y'all know the story? I had a boy one time. I talked to him. I texted him back and forth. Shane, I think he was a professing atheist. Am I right? Back and forth. Finally, I mean, this went on for a long time. I had his number in my phone. And you know what I did? I put brother in front of his name. Before he was ever a brother. So I'd look down and I'd say, brother. You say, that don't mean a whole lot. You know what it does mean? It means when we start walking in faith and believing that God is able to really break those chains that we sing about, we're going to start walking in that way and walk in obedience with what God's called us to do. And Brandon, when we walk in obedience, it doesn't matter what comes our way when we're walking in truth. I'm telling you right now, if God sent him down there, there was nothing Saul could do to stop what Ananias was about to do because he was walking in obedience to the word of God. Do you hear me? I want to use this illustration. I use it a lot. I've used it for years. I'm going to use it tonight. David was anointed to be king, but he was not king yet when he stepped down in the valley to fight Goliath. I would have had so much fun with that. Or would I? Can you imagine stepping down in the valley and saying, God said I'm going to be king. I'm not king yet. This guy don't stand a chance. I use this saying a lot because David was anointed. How many quarts did a horn hold? A horn of oil held 5 quarts of oil. Is that right? Yeah, it's an oil change. 5 to 6 quarts of oil that they poured on him. They poured a horn of oil on David. You get that much oil on you, I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to puddle at your feet. And when David walked away from being anointed, he was leaving tracks. Oh, Man, when you're anointed, people are going to be able to tell where you've been, Darren. And he steps down in the valley. And I'd have had fun with this. I'd have looked at Goliath and said, hey, by the way, those boys up there on the hill, they don't have dripping off them what I got dripping off me. I've been anointed. And because I've been anointed, you don't stand a chance in this valley. And you may come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, and the battle's won. So Ananias goes down, watch this, puts his hands on him. That's not some of us. I told him one time, Dustin, I said, listen, if you are contagious and you need prayer at the hospital, let us know that you are contagious and we'll pray for you from a distance. This is how some of us would have went and prayed for Saul. But he laid his hands on him. And when he laid his hands on him, he says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto me the way that, you know what happened. He said, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. When did we stop praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost? Let me try it over here. When did we stop praying for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is what makes the difference. The Spirit is what makes the difference. At this point, he's in good standing if he never gets his sight back. Because now he can see in the Spirit things he never seen before. Keep going. Verse 18, watch this. I think we're almost done. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. And listen to this. And he got up and was baptized. Wonder what he did that for. Wonder why he felt compelled that once all that went on, he got up and he got baptized. Any idea? Pick me, I know. Because there was some commandments that Jesus had given, and when you get the Holy Ghost, listen to this, you want to walk in obedience. That's deep stuff, ain't it? Let me tell you, when you worry about somebody, when they're just trying to skirt the issue and get to heaven by the skin of their teeth and they don't want to walk in obedience. Oh, let me put this like this. Where we just want to get by and not allow the Spirit to speak to us and us be obedient. Well, preacher, I tell you what. As a Christian, I will watch a PG-13 movie, but I will not watch an R-rated movie. Well, I tell you, as a Christian, I will watch PG, but I will not watch PG-13. Well, let me tell you the problem with all that is. PG-13 is the old R, PG's the old PG-13, and G's the old PG. And you know what? I could write down some rules. I could write down some rules and say, you know what? If you are going to be on our pulpit as part of our ministry team, you cannot watch anything past G. I've used that saying for years at work. On the Highwall Minor, the Strip, man, the Strip, I'm telling you, there's some language on there, ain't there, Dustin? And I don't have any control over that, so I have to drive across the Strip Road just listening to all that stuff. But when I was on the foreman on the minor, and they came over there and they got on our channel, beep, 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 beep. I said, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. G-rated show over here, pal. G-rated. Keep it G-rated. I said, either go G-rated or get off my channel. It's a G-rated show right here. And I can sit down, I could give you, you know what, you can't. What about this, though? What about this? What about the Holy Ghost dealing with you where you, oh, be careful, preacher. You're in our living room now. Be really, really careful. What about when the Holy Ghost starts convicting you to a point where you don't have to look at the list and see what you're able to do, but God starts speaking to you and you say, you know what? I'm more concerned about fellowship and where we need to be going than this stuff that doesn't mean anything anyway. What do I do? Listen to the Spirit. Am I right or am I right? Are you nervous? Are you mad? Okay, everybody's good? Well, then we need to be more sensitive to the Spirit. Because I'm learning some things as I get a little older. There's a lot of things that does not matter in my walk with God. So what do I need to do? I need to hear from God, and I need to walk in obedience. Because when I'm captivated by Him, there's Tracy. We've been married for a long time now. She is so blessed to have had me for so long. Okay. Man, Darren, as we've walked together, there are some things. How do I say this? I know what pushes her buttons. Don't look at me all innocent. You know what pushes yours buttons too, don't you? Yeah. And sometimes, you know what you say? I'm going for it. Don't you? Today's the day. I'm feeling rambunctious. And you know what happens? You regret it. And even when you know you did something really stupid, you can't admit it in the moment. Like, man, I wish I'd have just left this alone. That was so dumb. Even when you're right. I'm not looking at her. Don't look at her. Don't look at her. Don't look over there. Even when you're right, and that fellowship is broken, it's not worth it. What's really important is fellowship. To you young people, it'll take you years to learn what I just said. Shut up. Eddie taught us years ago, when you go to marriage counselors, you know what they tell you to do? Talk. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. You know what happens the more you talk? The more trouble you get in. You know why they want you to do that? So you come back next week and they get paid. And he said, sometimes, let me give you some wisdom. Shut up. Because of fellowship. Are you with me? Fellowship. Sometimes there are things going to come your way you need to say no to so you don't break fellowship. Man, this is so simple, but it's so important. All right, hurry, Damon, hurry. All right, I'm hurrying. Let me see. I got some more verses. I got more. Luke, watch this. Luke. Now, when they had left speaking, this is Luke 5, verse 4. Real fast. Come on, Aaron. And when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon, listen to this, launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered, said unto him, I love the way they're like, I just want to let you know this. Jesus, by the way, I wanted to inform you. We've toiled all night. We have taken nothing. What he's saying is, we've already tried this. This is so good. This will liberate you. This will liberate you. We've already tried this. We've already tried it. We've toiled all night and nothing. Nothing happened. Watch this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I don't care how many times you've tried it before. When he says do it, just do it. Now let me get where we live. I've tried so many times to forgive them. You know what he says? Let down the net. Jesus, but I've tried so many times. I've tried so many times. He said, let down the net. Let the net down. Just because you've tried to forgive them before and you haven't, doesn't excuse the fact that he's saying, forgive them. Why should I forgive them? Because it's breaking fellowship with him. Perry, we've used this illustration for years. It is so amazing. You know, you go to church with people that you have made mad before and you didn't even know it. Get mad at you for weird stuff. Hey, listen, as a pastor, I know. Brother Eddie, as a preacher, I've had people mad at me. I didn't even mean to make them mad. And you know what's crazy? You're over here all hot and bothered. And they're sitting over there. They don't even know you have a problem. Ignorance is, it sure is. You're just walking around. You go by, I'm like, I can't stand them. Don't even have a clue. So here's what's great. It's eating you up, and they're fine. He said, pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. You know what we do? We're selective who we pray for. Let me say it like this. There are more Christians praying for the president that sits there now than there was the previous president. Oh, look at you. Look at you looking at me. Because you know what we do? We pray for people we like. I think they both need prayer. One of them probably needed prayer more than the other one. And we're withholding on the one that really needs it. Everybody's like, what? I didn't come here Wednesday night to hear this. Pray for him. Pray for your enemy. Somebody done you wrong, pray for him. Do good to him. Do good to them. Do something good for them. Not to heap hot coals, but to let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart so that you don't break fellowship. So check this out. We're getting ready to worship. We're getting ready to worship. You don't have to. But boy, there's something about being in fellowship with him. You don't have to raise your hand. He asked us to. I don't know how you feel about Jesus, but man, I'm becoming more and more fascinated with him every day. So we're going to stand. We're going to go ahead and stand if you'd like to stand. And they're going to sing a song, and we're going to worship. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. But here's the prayer we got to pray. God, I want to walk in obedience because I want to walk in fellowship. Because I know that your commands are keeping me in fellowship. So if you would right now, would you just slip your hand up and worship him for just a moment? Not because I'm asking you to, but because he asked us to. Would you talk to him for just a minute? And would you say, Lord, I want to thank you for every bruise that you took for me. God, I want to thank you for your spirit. God, I want to worship you right now because you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. God, I want to walk in obedience. I want to remove those things that are breaking fellowship, Lord. Because I know when I walk in obedience and fellowship, God, something spectacular can happen. God, I may be able to lay hands on somebody that you're wanting to use for a purpose, Lord. God, help me be obedient. Help me to be obedient. Let me hear your spirit, Lord. Speak. He that hath an ear, Lord, I want to hear. I want to hear.